in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked, just like
it's an embarrassment of riches kind of day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So much stuff to get to. All the things, all the players, all the topics. People talking yesterday at 12:65. We will get to all of it as the day goes on. But we want to start with Jaden Reed, who stepped in front of the cameras, behind the microphones yesterday, and talked about a situation that we talked about when it first popped. What was that, like 2 weeks ago at this point? Man, I think it was 2 weeks ago-ish. I can't keep track of time. Anyway, remember when Jaden Reed's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, clearly told Adam Schefter... Right. Let's just cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Clearly told Adam Schefter about the conversation he had with Brian Gutekunst. And there was some assurance that came out of that meeting that Jaden Reed was the number one wide receiver. And we were all going, ugh, that's interesting considering you drafted Matthew Golden, who we expect to at least compete for the quote unquote wide receiver number one. So, Joshy, let's take a listen to Jaden Reed yesterday, how he explained that whole situation.
A lot of people misinterpreted that. Like, I hired a new agent, and we talked about it before even the draft, really, that, you know, he said that he was going to talk to, you know, the front office and everybody here to, you know, just catch up and make sure everybody on the same page. And as a new client, you know, he told me that's what he was going to do, and he did it. So, now, I don't know how I got out, because it was supposed to be confidential, but that's how it goes sometimes. Yeah, you know, people get a different perception, and you know, they make their own perception, which is okay. But that's how it goes sometimes. So,
Chewy, the call is coming from inside the house. This is a classic horror movie, right?
Yeah.
How did it get out? What do you mean, how did it get out?
I don't think Drew Rosenhaus says the word confidential in his life. Confidential, yeah. The problem is this, okay, with Twitter and X, it's like they're not under oath yet, you know? We were always under oath because there was no social media, anything. Anything that happened was either recorded by a reporter or it was on television. Now these go, oh, no, wait a minute, I was misinterpreted it on X. Come on. If my agent ever did anything like this without my permission, he would get his tail ripped.
What would you say?
Right? I'd say, what are you doing? You know, don't do that. I mean, he would know. He would never do it. But, yeah, you can't forget that. Jaden Reed, you're the boss. Drew Rosenhaus is not the boss. You are the boss. So if he told him to keep it confidential and he said he didn't mind it, was I right? Really couldn't understand him. Was he saying it was confidential, but I didn't mind it got out there?
Well, he didn't know how it got out there.
But it's okay. But it's okay.
Yeah.
The great irony here, of course, is that Drew Rosenhaus, by going to Brian Gutekunst and company et al., was trying to build trust with his client, Jaden Reed, right? He was trying to show, like, I've got your back. Look at how much I'm going to go to bat for you when a situation presents itself, right? Well, then by leaking it to the media, by telling Adam Schefter, who then reported it, that doesn't undermine it at all, Gabe? That, to me, is where I'm going, scratch head. I don't understand.
So did he, once this report came out, did he call up Drew Rosenhaus and go, Drew, how'd this get out? Man, your guess is as good as mine, Jaden. Yeah. My lips were sealed. Like, what is that conversation like? I mean, because the insiders of the world, the Adam Schefters, the Diana Russinis, Ian Rappaports, like, it's obvious a lot of times where information is coming from. Like, we talked about yesterday, the Matt Schneidman thing with the contract for Jaire Alexander. Pretty obvious, if you read between the lines, that that's coming from, that the information's coming from the Packers side of things, because they're talking up about, oh yeah, this is definitely a contract that would show our interest in him. So it was pretty obvious that this was a report that didn't come from Brian Gutekunst, that didn't come from the Packers front office, where they called up Adam Schefter and went, hey, I just had a conversation with Drew Rosenhaus about Jaden Reed. No, that's coming from Drew. So, like, what do you mean you don't know where this is coming from? Like, you've been around. I mean, no, you're still in your rookie deal, man, but
well,
you got to know how these things work.
That's what raised our eyebrows initially, right? What raised our eyebrows initially was the quote-unquote assurance that Jaden Reed was the number one guy,
mm-hmm.
despite them going out and getting other weapons, other assets. Why in the world would Brian Gutekunst ever go on the record and say that? Why in the world that, even if he said it to an agent just to appease him, to get him off the phone, you know, some of these agents, and I'm not saying Drew specifically, are very long-winded. And sometimes you're like, you know what? Yes. Whatever we're discussing, yes. Just so that you can click, hang up the phone. I don't get that impression from Brian Gutekunst. And I certainly
I
don't
do.
Think, but I don't think that he, I don't think that he would then tell Adam Schefter, hey, you know what we did? We had a conversation with Drew Rosenhaus. We told him that his client, Jaden Reed, is our number one guy.
No, I think that came from Rosenhaus.
Correct.
With Goody's track record on his BS, I totally think he said
that. Well, yeah, but he wouldn't.
But Jen, just to what you said, appease him. Yeah, to appease him. Look what he said about Aaron Jones. Oh, yeah, we want him back. We're going to do whatever it takes. How about 30 cents?
But Goody's also, like, when Goody's up there talking, it's pretty obvious he doesn't want to be up there talking, right? Like, he wants to do as little media as possible. So I don't think that he would then reach out to a media member and be like, hey, guess who I just talked to, Adam? That doesn't seem like that fits Goody's MO either.
No, but you agree with me, Gabe, that there's a good chance he said it just to appease him.
Ah, decent chance, sure.
But doesn't Goody strike you as a will have a chance to compete guy, quote unquote? Doesn't Goody strike you as a he'll have a chance to compete?
He picks and chooses.
I mean, or Drew just heard him. Yeah, he's one of our guys. And because the word one was said, oh, he's the number one.
So let's spin this sucker forward because that's what really matters. It appears as though Jaden Reed is handling it well. It appears as though this will not be something that affects the locker room, the dynamic of the locker room, because also Jaden Reed yesterday was very complimentary of Matthew Golden. That was the other thing that I took away from the availability. He was saying how Matthew Golden has come in this year more prepared, more up to speed than Jaden Reed did when he came in, Gabe.
Yeah, and Matt LaFleur was singing the praises of Jaden Reed and how he's helped Matthew Golden already, like outside of the building, and how those two have kind of made a connection and how good Jaden Reed has been. They don't have a veteran receiver on the team. Everybody's still on the rookie deals, I guess, outside of Mecole Hardman, who I'm still not sure is going to be on the team at this point. But Jaden Reed's kind of being that elder statesman of, hey, I've been here a couple of years. I can get this rookie up to speed so he can help us start winning football games. Like, Jaden Reed's kind of taken on that leadership role, it seems, and it's been noted by his head coach.
Aren't you supposed to do that, though?
As the second-year guy?
Aren't you supposed to do that? Aren't you supposed to help youngsters along like that?
Well, sure, but I'm making more of a comment, Chewy, like there isn't really a veteran there, right? Like veteran, think, oh, guy in a second contract, guy who's been through a number of different things, not guy going into year three trying to make that year two to year three leap, and now he's got to be the leader of that wide receiver room on top of it.
Yeah.
But that's more of what I'm saying. Like, good on Jaden Reed for somebody who's clearly got a lot on his own plate, somebody that has to figure out what went wrong in the second half of last year when he was not very good, when he wasn't getting touches, when he wasn't getting snaps. Okay, now I got to figure out a way to elevate my game while also bringing along this first-round draft pick. I don't think a lot of wide receivers do that.
It's great right now. This is the season of gush. And I guarantee if we went to Jacksonville's, what they're talking about in Jacksonville, it's the same thing. Oh, we love this third-round pick. He's a steal. He's great. It's the season of gush. Where it turns into a mess is when reps start being taken away from said individuals, right? And we saw a little example of that last year with Romeo Doubs. You know, and that happens. I'm telling you, and I told you guys this story before. When Keith came in the ninth game of the year, and I was in a Pro Bowl year, and I was losing reps to Keith, and I remember a specific play in the red zone, they gave it to Keith instead of me, mm-hmm. and I was pissed. I'm like, I've been here 9 weeks busting my rear end, and that's my route, and you give it to him, and then he dropped it in the game, and I was happy.
The other development yesterday that I think we should focus on is that Christian
wait,
Watson.
Wait, you were happy?
Yeah.
You're happy your guy dropped nature. The ball?
Yes, that's human
He's
nature.
He's told us that before. He's King Schartenfarter.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, did you tell anybody you were happy about it? Did you go to Andy and be like, yeah, good?
I probably told JT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, which JT?
Jeff Thomason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so did he, was Thomason also kind of tight with Keith then? Was he like the intermediary? Like if Keith wanted to complain about you, did he go to JT?
No. Because Keith was, don't forget, Keith was, I mean, I was probably, what, 20, 25? Keith was like 31, 32. So he was more the Reggie, Eugene Robinson. Yeah. You know, and then Jeff, I think, was a year younger than me. So we were just kind of minions. Jeff was my guy, man. Yeah. If I needed someone whacked, he'd do it for me.
Wait, he knows somebody that could do that?
Don't we all?
No.
Oh, that's right. You're from HorrorCon.
Yeah. Who do I know?
I'm not sure if you caught that, loyal listeners, but Chewy just said, don't we all know someone who would be willing to off someone for
Gabe.
Us?
I mean, well, in HorrorCon,
Let me just say this.
I know a couple guys in HorrorCon that are good with a sniper rifle from hunting? Yeah.
No.
Do I think they're going to take somebody out for me? No.
Gabe, the marsh is a big place. Okay.
It is.
The marsh is a very big place.
Largest freshwater marsh in North America. Don't you forget it.
Maybe we should get away from plotting executions here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and get back to the wide receiver room where I did, Chew, want to note that Christian Watson was there, not participating in drills yesterday, but apparently is, quote unquote, ahead of schedule in his ACL surgery, which leads me to ask you, do you think the Packers will have their full lineup of wide receivers at the end of the season?
Yes. How effective he will be, I don't know. Because he's an average route runner at best. It's how quickly he can get over the mental stuff. And the mental stuff's real. It's tough. You know, when it's not practice, it's getting into a game because, as we all know, game speed is quite a bit faster than practice, so that the mental part's going to be the tough thing for him. Putting that thing in the ground and cutting off of it, that takes time.
Well, kind of that first hit you get on it too, right?
Yeah, it's just, you know what's the weirdest thing is, it's being around bodies. You know?
So if he's like blocking around a pile,
yeah, it's just like you feel really, really. Because I remember with my PCL, I'm like. And I had a brace on, and I'm like, oh, this is very uncomfortable. So mentally, that's going to be the challenge.
How would you use Christian Watson? Let's say he gets back to form, which, again, is a big if. Let's say he gets back to form, and you've got his blazing speed, and then you've got Golden's blazing speed. He's even faster, 4.2. How would you use those two? Would you use them together, too? Would you have packages where they're both on the field?
Yes, but you know what I would do? Before that, Jen, I would sign him to an extension.
Christian.
I would sign him, yeah.
What would you
offer?
I would
say, look, we want you around here. We will, I don't know, what's a fair number, you think?
Well, that's what I'm curious. Because we've been discussing how the Packers like to lowball on these things.
Yeah, but he's not going to have enough time to really, because my guess is he'll be limited time, he'll be limited catches. Free agency, I mean, who's really going to – is he a one-year type deal, a two-year? I would throw, I don't know, 3 years, $30 million, $18 million guaranteed, see if he takes it, even before he steps on the field.
I think that seems relatively fair when you think about some of the other deals, like when MVS left and the deal that he got in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not concerned about injuries? I only bring this up because we spent a long time yesterday talking about Jair Alexander and the fact that he has not been available for the team because of health concerns, you know, year in and year out. Christian Watson also has been unavailable. You're not concerned at all that you would give him that extension, even if it was, like you said, sort of a sweetheart deal, and then he would not be available, that these injuries would sort of continue to follow him and plague him?
I think he matured last year, Chew, because that's something you talked about. Like, okay, you know, I think of the play, it was probably 2023 when he took the big hit. And then, well, Christian Watson is questionable return with a hip, head, and knee injury, right? Like, it was like three or four different things. And everyone's like, what? And then he ends up playing the next week. Or, you know, he's got the hamstring injury. I think the hamstring and the soft tissue stuff is past him. He played 15 games last year.
Yeah.
And it was just unfortunate that in that 15th game, he ended up, you know, tweaking the hammy. If you get 15 games out of Christian Watson every year, I think that's that contract would be well worth it.
No, I think he matured, and I talk about that with young players. They have to learn there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And him going to a small, well, a smaller school, North Dakota State, where he, you know, he was the stud on the team and probably could do whatever he wanted, he had to learn how to play in the NFL, like I said, between injury and hurt. And he's a great locker room guy. They all seem to love him. And, I mean, if you throw him 10, 12 million, I would like him on the roster.
This feels like a buy low, sell high thing.
Wait. Yes.
Yeah, buy low, sell high. Mm-hmm. Yes. Josh is over there going, yes, Jen. Yes, Jen, that's what it is. Don't derail yourself. Because, obviously, right now, Christian Watson doesn't feel like he has a lot of leverage. Feels like the Packers would have all the leverage if they decide to go.
Yeah, coming off an injury like that, absolutely.
Back to the well. I kind of like this, Chew. I kind of like this idea. Let me work through it. What did you say, Joshy?
I don't like Joshy's attitude.
I said to go to a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it very like, I can't believe we're talking about
this. I actually thought you said Jeff Levering. And I was Jeff Levering.
No, you said work to break.
Wow, that is wild.
Josh, do you like
my idea? Do you think he said that over the air? Did you just pull a Chewy?
No, I knew he said it in my ear, okay. But I was also like, do we have Jeff Levering coming up on the show? How the hell did I miss that? 800-990-3776.
If he wants to call in, he can.
Yeah, absolutely. Always welcome here on the program. We got to get to Jason Wilde, but I want to put this out there to the loyal listeners because Chewy brings up a good point. Should the Packers extend Christian Watson, maybe right this moment, but in the next few months? Is that something that you would like to see the Green Bay Packers do as sort of a buy low, sell high move? Let us know, 800-990-3776. Let's get to Jason Wilde right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Better to walk us through everything going on at 1265 than our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Jennifer. I don't want anything misrepresented or misinterpreted over here, all right? So let's be on top of things.
Okay.
Next question.
Well, that also is a Rosenhaus thing.
That
isn't
is,
it?
Yes.
Very
that
good. Is.
With
very
T.O.
Good. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Great reference.
Very
great
good
reference.
By you.
I don't know how you remember that kind of stuff and can't remember what you had for breakfast, but that's another conversation.
That's a fair question, Jason.
Well, I believe we know the answer to that one as well, but in the words of Chewy and Drew Rosenhaus, next question. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday's availability?
Super Bowl or bust, baby. That's what my takeaway was.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I'm not kidding. I asked Jordan Love because... Look, LaFleur gave me grief because I asked the question that I was planning on asking all along, which is what does Jordan Love need to do to elevate his game and elevate this team, you know, besides, you know, obviously staying healthy after what he went through last year. And, you know, LaFleur, you know, kind of gave me a hard time, which I am totally fine with. We have a great working relationship. But it was I was irritated by the attempt to dodge the question by poking fun about something about my physical specimen that I am or whatever. And so I didn't laugh. I didn't give him the courtesy laugh. And then I came right back at him and said, no, really, like he's in year three. Despite the injuries, I think Jordan would say he needed to be better too. What does he need to do? And you know, he never wants it to be just about the quarterback, but as everyone knows, it's not just about the quarterback, but it's a lot about the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I asked Jordan about it, you know, I, again, this is why I like Jordan so much. Like, he's just, he's not an excuse maker. He's not a deflector. Like, did the injuries affect him? Yeah, I'm sure, you know, his answer was basically sure. I mean, I'm sure it did in some way, but if I'm out there, I should be judged on how I play. And I respect the hell out of him for that, because not everyone operates that way. And, you know, there's a lot of players that are always looking for a way to kind of shirk the criticism and responsibility. And then, you know, I said, look, I know it's not fair to you to constantly compare you to the other guy. I said, but you know this, in year three as a starter, these guys won the Super Bowl with Rodgers. And now you're going into year three. In what ways do you need to elevate your game and elevate this team? And I thought he was great. Like, he immediately embraced the Super Bowl thing, which, if you remember, like, Chewy was on the team where Favre did that. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. But, you know, I've always found it interesting that when somebody says that, it's like a headline item. Well, that's the goal, and that should be your expectation. And so in talking with him about that, and then talking to Josh Jacobs about it and Xavier McKinney, like, there is definitely a vibe, and it could be misguided, but there is definitely a vibe with these players who I hadn't gotten to talk to since basically the end of the season and locker room cleanout, that they really do think that they have what it takes. Now, they're going to have to get some breaks, they're going to have to stay healthy, all those things, but they're not taking a back seat to anybody. I'm hearing Mike McCarthy's voice in the back of my head saying, we're nobody's underdog. And we'll see if that ends up being the case, because they got a hard schedule and there's a lot of good teams in their conference.
Jason, I floated out first segment, I think they should sign Christian Watson to a 3-year fair deal, just because I don't think Watson's going to have
what's
a lot of
fair?
Leverage. 10 or 12, 18 guaranteed. But, Jason, you remember back in the day Ron would do it? He'd find a player that was good who maybe had 2 years left on his deal, and he'd throw some guaranteed money at him, a fair deal, and he just jumped the gun on him before they got the free agency. It's kind of like Jackson mm-hmm. Chirio, you know? What a great signing that is. You know, why doesn't
well, now that
do
he's
more
drawn
of that?
Walks. Yeah, from what I understand.
We don't have to get
Homer.
Into that, please.
Yeah, come on. That was good. I thought that was pretty good.
I mean, it was funny. Look, Jason, is it funny? Yes. Am I, like, annoyed by that entire situation? Yes, I am. I'm also annoyed by the entire situation.
Both things can be true. I get you.
But, like, Jason, like,
no,
Zach
Chewy,
Tom, I would have signed Zach. I would have gave Zach Tom an offer last year that maybe $14 million a year.
Hold on, old timer.
I got you.
All right. First of all,
Gabe mad at us again.
Exactly. because that's not a place I want to. I'm already on the bad side of Keith/Mark. So first of all, they can't sign extensions in year three. That's a change from when you were a player with the collective bargaining agreement, because of, you know, we basically eliminated restricted free agency. The only restricted free agents now are guys that came into the league as undrafted free agents. And so back then in year three with a guy that was going to be a restricted free agent, if you really liked him, you could totally get a deal done with him. So your idea is not flawed. The rules just don't allow for it. Okay.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
So like Jaden Reed, for example,
mm-hmm.
who I'm sure we'll get to, is not eligible for an extension until after the 2025 season ends. But in Zach Tom's case, I personally, and again, I would be a terrible GM, so you can take this with a very large grain of salt, but I would have made him an offer right after the season ended, because he had not played at the highest level that he had played the previous year, even though Pro Football Focus graded him high. He was third in the right tackle voting for all pro. I would have tried to get him, you know, with the whole, and it's a push-pull, you know this. You don't maximize your value if you sign early, but you get security that you're protected in case something bad happens. They went the other way and said his job is open for competition. So I agree with you. I'm just telling you that you would have had to do that not like down the stretch of last season, but after the season ended.
All right, you want to talk about Jaden Reed? Let's talk about Jaden Reed. When he called Drew Rosenhaus to try to figure out where this report that Adam Schefter had a couple weeks ago came from, what do you think Drew said?
I don't have any idea. I think it was that Mark Shimura guy.
But in all seriousness, Jason, I guess, you know, I like the way that he kind of handled that whole thing outside of the who knows where this came from. And it seems like the way LaFleur talked about him, with a lack of actual veteran leadership in that room because everybody's still on their rookie deals, is he kind of emerging as that leader, or am I buying into, as Chewy would say, the gush too much?
The gush. Look, first of all, let's call this what it is. The agent, who may or may not have been the source, clearly miscalculated what the public perception and reaction would be. Right. I mean, he's just Drew Rosenhaus is a great agent. Like, he is billions upon billions of dollars in contracts. On this, he was wrong. Now, I would argue that there is nothing wrong, in my opinion, with wanting your role clarified. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're a baby and a morning radio host is going to say, I'm not playing. But what it does mean is that if it gets out there, and it look, we all know what happened here, right? I mean, this Drew Rosenhaus wanted to look good, so he told Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter reported it, and then Adam Schefter's on your show. And look, this is not a disrespect to him. He is great at what he does, but very rarely do you try to walk back your own story, which is clearly what he tried to do because they did not see the fallout coming in Drew Rosenhaus's office. So then Jaden Reed is put in the position yesterday. He knew, I mean, he like had an opening statement. Y'all have been waiting for me to talk, haven't you? Yeah, we have, with good reason. And you know, we all kind of chuckled at the idea of he didn't know where it came. I don't know how it got out. That was supposed to be confidential. I don't have a problem with him wanting to clarify his role, okay? That said, it is how does he handle this moving forward? And I'm sorry. Again, I really like him. We have a great working relationship. I think he's a smart, engaging guy who's a natural leader. He has led them in receptions and yards each of the first two seasons he's been there. He ain't no bum. He ain't a slouch. He's a good, good player. That said, it's great that he said, well, I don't care about targets. If I get two targets and we win, I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. Okay, you're not the first person to say that. What if you get two targets and you lose? What if you get two targets over a five-game stretch? Like, I'm sorry, you're not going to be okay with it. And by the way, you shouldn't be because you're a competitor, right? And as I said to him when we were going back and forth, I was like, that's great that you're okay with not getting targets in a win, but like, doesn't this team have a better chance of winning if you get more targets? Which yes is the answer, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I thought he handled it the way he needed to. I had no problem with anything he said. But if any wide receiver tells you that they don't care about targets, they're saying that because it's what they're supposed to say. It's not what they feel in their heart of hearts. And maybe for a game or two, they're okay with it. But for an extended period, they are in no way okay with it. And I will tell you this, and I am convinced of this, because Matt LaFleur said it, and it was one of the more honest things I've heard him say, that he believes that they did not do Jaden Reed any favors by putting him in positions where he got the crap knocked out of him. And I keep thinking about, and Gabe, I know you remember this play. They run an end around in the low red zone. I can't remember if it was a pop pass or a jet sweep, but he comes around the right side and just gets walloped. And the point that LaFleur was making was, look, we need him to not be banged up. And he was clearly banged up down the stretch. And then he suffers that shoulder injury that took 4 months to heal in the playoff game. They have to he is not built like Davante Adams. He's not built like Jordy Nelson. They have to find ways to make sure they're not putting him in position to absorb those type of hits. Let Savion Williams, who's 6'3", 220, do that. And make sure you choose your spots. Still get him the targets. Still get him the opportunities. But don't put him in harm's way as often as they did.
Jason, before we let you go, I saw a report that said that Gregory Jr., former sixth-round pick, played just one snap of defense, got some time with the first-team defense in the nickel. Do you think we'll see him out there in the nickel this season with that defensive back group?
Yeah, I am, and this is not you, this is, and I don't know who posted that. Like, everybody got time with the ones yesterday. Seriously.
That is like, very good information.
Right? Like, so they're rotating all the guys. Like, the first snap on offense, the first, very first offensive 11-on-11 snap, the wide receivers were Bo Melton and Romeo Doubs, and they were in two tight ends. Like, there is no bigger fan of Bo Melton except maybe Wes Hodgkowitz than me. But Bo Melton is not their number one wide receiver, right? so they rotated all those guys through. Every single wide receiver, because they did the two-spot thing where they've got one group at one end of the field being led by Sean Clifford and Malik Willis and Taylor Elgersma. And then they got the other end where it's Love. And so, like, the wide receivers down at the other end, the only guy of import was Savion Williams, and he was in a red jersey, so he must be dealing with some sort of injury. But all those guys rotated through with Love. On defense, they rotated all the safeties. Even Zane Anderson worked with the ones alongside McKinney at one point. So my point is yeah, maybe Junior is going to be in the mix. You know, Kalen King got some snaps with the ones too. So I think they are just getting looks at everybody, and that may very well be the case. He's a fascinating story, Junior is. But, you know, one OTA practice, you know, you notice I don't do a whole lot of tweeting because I don't want, you know, my biggest issue with this, and I know we got to go, but, like, they practiced, their first practice was Tuesday. And LaFleur actually told us yesterday he wasn't happy, he was pissed, and he got after them for it, right? If that had been the practice we had been at, you know, certain player X and player Y might have had great days. And then yesterday, if we weren't there, those same guys could have been terrible and vice versa. And so I'm always leery, unlike back in the old days when I was at every single OTA practice and I could give a more complete picture. I'm always leery of saying too much based on the one practice I got to attend.
Jason, just one really quick. While we're on the complaining about targets, how
you're
was
the
Romeo
one screwing up the clock?
I know, but I wanted to get this in. How was Romeo Doubs' attitude?
He was not among the players we got to talk to because they're renovating the locker room. So we got brought players instead of getting to choose players. He was one of the people I would have liked to have talked to. He looked fine. Like, he didn't look like he was frumping or was disengaged with his teammates. So I think, you know, again, I would say this if Romeo was sitting in the studio with you guys at the Avenue or if he was standing in my laundry room with me right now. Dude, go out there and ball the F out. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get paid next year if you do that. It may not be by these guys, but you're going to get paid because you are a good player. And I would just say whatever feelings you have, LaFleur has a sign that he put up in the room that says standards over feelings, which I clearly would not be able to handle, but Romeo needs to because he's got an opportunity here.
Jason, we appreciate you. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will take a break. Roll right on right after this.
Summer is right around the corner. It means a lot of things. One thing that I'm really excited about, I think everybody gets excited about this time of year, Summerfest. And did you know, if you buy $25 worth of participating items at Pick and Save and Metro Market stores, you can get two free Summerfest tickets. Did you also know that includes Palermo's family brands of pizza? Think of all those different brands of pizza that's included in those $25 of items. So stock up on your Palermo's favorites today and then go enjoy Summerfest. It's a summer feast and it's happening right now at your local Pick and Save and Metro Market stores. For more information, visit pickandsave.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what
good
I was getting
good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy Celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener June 27th at the Garage at Harley-Davidson Museum. Make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now. WadeVersusDiener.GiveSmart.com. That's WadeVersusDiener.GiveSmart.com.
Quarterback Jordan Love also spoke yesterday, and, well, one, he did address the first pitch that we discussed, which he said he didn't get any warm-ups, gang. Didn't warm up at all. Was too busy talking to the guys, chit-chatting in the clubhouse.
What are your priorities? You want to throw a strike or not?
I'm with you.
I'm just saying.
You're not going
to
get any.
I mean, if that's the excuse you want to lob about Jordan, fine, but you could have had that opportunity.
To this day, Chu, Dario will tell the story of when I threw out the first pitch at the White Sox game all those years ago and how we were warming up in the tunnel, as one does. I was so geeked up, right? Chinged up, but not the ching, that I threw it way over his head on the first one. And he goes, okay, calm down. Okay, relax. But you got to get that out, right? You got to get the nerves, the adrenaline throw out of the way so that when you go out there, you can actually throw a good one. That is not what I want to talk about when it comes to Jordan Love, however. I want to talk about how he reacted to questions about him taking a step back from year one to year two. Take a listen to the quarterback.
I mean, what is a step back is what I'd ask, you know what I mean? Everybody has different opinions, things like that. You know, you got to block that stuff out. So it's all about the goals of the team at the end of the day. You know, I'd say we won more games than we did the year before. So that's why I ask people, what is a step back? So everybody has opinions, things like that. Try and block that out and just focus on doing me, being the best player I can be, like I've talked about, and go forward. But at the end of the day, you know, personal stats, things like that, that's all in the back. You know, you got to focus on the goals of the team first and foremost.
Is that the most agitated he's been or he's going to get?
I mean, I thought he was – I didn't think agitated was not a word that came to my mind when I was listening to that.
Well, he was questioning what's a step back.
Which I would have asked, just so you know, a follow-up would have been, well, how would you define a step back?
Yeah, well, after that, my follow-up would have been, okay, do you need to play better for this team to win even more games this year?
Well, be careful. Yesterday when I said that Jordan Love needs to play better, somebody jumped all over me in the YouTube comments and was like, what was the point of saying that? Jordan Love needs to play better. I don't know.
Because he needs to play better?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chu. I appreciate that.
Jeez, I'm crow. Really? That's going to – last year's play is going to get us to a Super Bowl?
Thank you. That is exactly correct. Mm-hmm. Last year's play will not get this team to a Super Bowl. 100% all in agreement.
I don't know. I just read it as he didn't really like the question, but he needs to realize that, yeah, your personal stats are only going to make the team stats better. I'm sorry.
Well,
that's
and
just
then
the
next layer of that, Chu, was that when he was asked about whether or not the injuries played a role in his performance last year, he sort of dismissed that as well, saying basically like, oh, I'm never going to use injuries as an excuse. So even in answering it that way, there was a way that he was saying he recognizes he needs to play better. He wasn't willing to say that the reason he played at the level he did was because he was dealing with the injuries as consistently as he was, Gabe.
Which I like. I don't like using that as an excuse, and I've said this a lot throughout this offseason on the show. Okay, there is a learning curve of how to, and sure, you've talked about this, playing through those injuries. Okay, now you've done that. Now, year three, if you're a little dinged up, you still have to find a way to play at an incredibly high level. It's what Favre did. It's what Rodgers does. It's what Patrick Mahomes has done. It's what Josh Allen. If you want to be a great quarterback in this league, it's about navigating those injuries and still finding a way to be highly productive. So, hey, I'm willing to look past some of the stuff you dealt with last year because you probably came back a little bit sooner than maybe you should have in order to come back from that knee injury as early as you did. And obviously, I think everybody loves that you're willing to play through that. But then you can't throw three interceptions in that game, right? You can't throw the crucial interception when you're trying to have this huge comeback.
Well, the thing we see is 2 years ago, how the second half of the season, he was unbelievable. So we know that is in there. And if he plays like that an entire season, now all of a sudden you're a top five quarterback. You're not 12,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the standard. I'm sorry. It just is. You're making $50 million a year. Play like it, right? The number $50 million a year, whatever he's making, does not equate to number 12. That should be, like I said, 5, 6, 7. That's where we expect you to be.
Yeah. And
fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. Because he is one of those guys, when we talk about guys stepping up and playing and being a star and being a stud, when we talk about Jordan Love, yes, we love him here. How many defensive coordinators that the Packers are going to play going into the season are going, man, we got to make sure we got something good for Jordan Love. How many defensive coordinators are really fearful right now of Jordan Love?
None. None.
And that's got to change. That's got to change.
That changes, though, how that changes. They got to use his legs. They got to use his legs, right? You want opposing defenses to spy a quarterback.
Yeah, but he's
that's
just,
what you want.
But he's not that type of athlete, Chew.
Well, he's got it because he's dainty.
No.
No. It's in there, Gabe. Well, it's in there.
Yeah, but like he had like 250 rushing yards the year before. Like, again, his athleticism, he's not Tom Brady. He's more Aaron Rodgers. And teams weren't spying on Aaron Rodgers. He could take off from time to time, but you're not going to waste an asset on spying Aaron Rodgers.
But Gabe, the big deficiency they had last year on offense, I believe, was third down efficiency. They were not tops in the league, I don't believe. And they should be. You have to be, because that extends drives. Not only does it extend drives, it keeps your defense off of the field. And this defense is fine. But fine is not going to get to where you want to go. The offense has to be clicking.
So let's pick a metric, guys. Let's pick a metric here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for Jordan Love. Last season, he was 61.3 completion rate, 96.7 passer rating, 25 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I think we should pick a metric. Maybe it's all the way across there. We pick, you know, what completion percentage he needs to have, what passer rating needs to have, how many touchdowns, how many picks in order to be an elite quarterback, in order to be top six quarterback. Because, again, yesterday we talked about the top four. There's like a Mount Rushmore right now in the NFL at the quarterback position. Maybe Jalen Hurts is, you know, Mount Rushmore 0.1. But if you want your guy, Jordan Love, to be in the top six, what metric, what numbers do you think, what stats does he need to reach this season in order to be there? Let's take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and discuss that right after this. I want to know what you think he needs to throw. Is it completion percentage? You got a certain completion percentage in mind. By the way, he had a 70.3 completion percentage the season before when he had that ridiculous finish to the 2023 season. Do you need him to be there? Up over 70, 800-990-3776. Let us know on the Carbless talk and text line. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is located in the Theater District of downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, artists in residence, and nightly live music. So you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it doesn't work.
Chewy,
am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Great. Great Midwest Bank prides itself on being a local bank. They might be small, but their coworkers really understand the local community because they are part of it. Every one of them actually lives here. The customers live just down the street, and Great Midwest Bank gives them customized products and services that others cannot offer. So naturally, after almost 90 years, giving back is an obligation that Great Midwest Bank is proud to provide. Simply giving, simply local, Great Midwest Bank. I've seen some pushback on this idea that Jordan Love wasn't as productive in his second season as he was the first time around. I mean, the numbers back it up, but the pushback obviously entails the injuries that Jordan Love did not use as an excuse, and also the receivers dropping passes. Now, Chew, this to me is like splitting hairs. I know that there are metrics. I know that there are stats that tell you when a receiver drops a catchable ball. But when you look at the issues that the wide receivers had this past year, how do you split the pie? Do you give more blame to the receivers as a whole, or do you give more blame to Jordan Love, who is throwing them the ball?
I mean, how far would the drops move the needle on his completion percentage? What'd you say it was, 61?
63 last year.
63 as compared to what, 70?
During that 8-game stretch, yes.
I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean, what are people trying to spin here? You know? Everyone's banged up. He just gets more recognition because he's the quarterback. But no one is healthy, right? I mean, when I tore my PCL, I had to play 8 games where I was probably around 90%. That's why you don't blame injuries. You just find a way to work around it. So I don't use the injuries. And what? The drops, is it going to move at 1 percentage point? He was 70 during that stretch, and he's 63.
And just remember, only one interception. 18 touchdowns, one interception over that final 8-game stretch.
Which, again, I'm not expecting him to do that over an entire season. Like, I'm not expecting for him to go, you know, 36 touchdowns to 2 picks.
No.
You know, like, that's a hot streak, and you have to factor some of that in, but I want some of that to carry over. And honestly, if I'm looking at all these numbers, and they're fine, they're okay.
Yeah.
But I actually go back to that conversation we were having earlier, Chew. I want that third down percentage to go up. Because if that third down percentage goes up, which was 39.5 last year, 15th in the league, that was their conversion rate on third down. If that percentage goes up, A, he's getting more opportunities, and B, those numbers are going to go up because he's being more successful on the money downs. Like, third down, I mean, yeah, every once in a while you're going to have your third and ones, your third and twos, or you turn around, you hand it off to Josh Jacobs, and he's just going to be a battering ram and continue the drive that way. But so many times when we're talking about the top-end quarterbacks, they're making big-time throws on third and six, third and seven, third and eight. And that's where, again, it's tougher to be successful in those spots. But if Jordan Love is successful in those spots and that third down percentage goes up, everything else is going to fall into line in terms of his stats, the team stats, points per game, and efficiency. I kind of start there of, all right, let's get that number up over 40%. Let's get this offense a top 10 offense in terms of converting third downs.
I think when it comes to running, I think LaFleur is putting the restrictor plates on him. I don't think it's Jordan. So LaFleur's got to pivot. On a third and six, it's man. Hey, don't be afraid to run. Just keep moving the chains. You know, if you don't have it and you see a lane where you can get 6 yards and you're on your second read and you like it but you don't love it, tuck it and run. Just move the chains. That's it. And I think that'll make a big difference. Because everyone else is doing it, Gabe. Not everyone, but a lot of quarterbacks.
But a lot of the top guys, Chew. Your point is well made.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show, including top 8 at 8, where I always do really well.
Domination, really.
Stick around.